Think it's coming. Ooh, that's quite loud. Did I start a song? No. Is that all right? Can we just go down a little bit, Mike? I mean, Rob. Sorry. I don't like hearing myself, guys. Thanks, Chris. I'm gonna pray for you right now. Jokes aside, let's open up in some prayer and then we'll get into the Lord's word. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we want to open your word up and we want you to talk to us. So we come, Lord, with expectation. We come with anticipation. As we open up your word that's infallible, that your word is given to guide, to teach, and to prove. So we pray, Lord, for your blessing, for your Holy Spirit to move amongst us this morning, that you would teach us and that you would enlighten us. And that, Lord, as we go from here, that we would have gained just a little bit more knowledge about who you are and what you want for us. So I pray for your blessing on this time. I pray for your words, and I pray for your glory. Pray and ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There we go. So that's up. Okay. And I got the wrong glasses on. No wonder I can't see anything. It's terrible when you reach that stage of life where you need two pairs, isn't it? And I can't get on with bifocals either, because or varifocals, or whatever you guys call them these days. I just can't. I feel like I'm drunk, but which makes me kind of interesting when I am preaching. But never mind. Let's not digress. I got a question for you. A couple of questions. I'm going to actually, as we go through this sermon, there's quite a few questions this morning. Obviously, these are personal questions. How you obviously answer them, that's up to you. If you want to shout them out, well, that's fine as well. But first question, how dynamic and how alive is your prayer life? Is it vibrant? Is it alive? Are you in tune with God? Does God answer all of your prayers? You spend hours on your knees praying and talking to God. Always. We'll pray for you for lying. If so, then you are blessed. And I would encourage you to carry on praying. There are those prayer warriors that I've come across. They spend hours. We've got a lady in our church called Magdalene. And she will spend hours praying. She gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and she starts praying. And she's in a prayer Zoom meeting kind of thing at 5 o'clock. And she prays till six. And then she does the rest of her day. And she's done this for years. And when you listen to her prayer is really, it's alive. And you walk out of that room feeling, I want some of that. Wow. And she will just, like I say, she'll fall on the floor. She will lay there just praying and crying, talking to God. But I think the truth of the matter is, as I go, if we went around this room, we would all struggle. Not all of us have that vibrant kind of prayer life. We would all wish for it, but we don't have it. Myself, I struggle sometimes in what I'm going to pray. What do I pray, Lord? What do you want me to pray? How do I pray? How do I pray and be vibrant like Magdalene or even like the apostles in the New Testament? And this is kind of where we're going to go this morning. Last time I was here, we spoke about the Word of God and how the Word of God goes out and how it's bearing fruit across what's in the church and that, and how people had heard it and come to know Christ. And now Paul kind of switches gears a little bit and he says, okay, you know what the Word is, but do you know how to pray? And they go hand in hand, the Word of God and the prayer. That we need to learn to pray and how we need to pray. And this is where Paul is this morning. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn over to Colossians 1. We're going to be reading 9 through 11. I've got it. Let's see if we can get this working. I'll read it from you so I can follow with you guys. But if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you also use those. Maybe you want to write them or highlight them or underline them, or I'm not sure, but it's always good to make notes. But this is what Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully." So Paul now is writing a very long sentence, actually. If you wanted to know what the longest sentence in the Bible is, you've just been introduced to it. You know the shortest verses, Jesus wept. Well, this actually is the longest sentence that is written in the Bible. It goes all the way from 9 to 20. Now, we obviously have broken it up in order for us to understand it and try and grasp with it and grapple with it. But in the old original text, Paul writes one long sentence and it's all a prayer. It's pretty much a prayer. And obviously, we don't have all the time this morning, so I've kind of broken it up. But we're going to just have a look at what Paul has to say. And we've got to remember, when Paul is writing this very long sentence, this letter to the Church of Colossae, that he actually is in prison. This is one of his prison letters. In fact, some argue that it is his last letter. Now, you can obviously imagine somebody that's got a large amount of time and isolation. Well, they've got two things they can do. They either fall asleep and sleep the day away, or they spend their time praying. And Paul spends his time praying. And wherever you go in the New Testament, in fact, every time we encounter Paul, he's either praying or worshiping. And that's kind of an inspiration for us. What do we do in our isolation, in our quiet moments? Do we get absorbed in things that we shouldn't be absorbed in? Do we have a quick nap? Do we lay down? Or do we get into God and God's word? Do we talk to God? Do we pray with God? And like I say, this is one long sentence that Paul has written, which is one long prayer. And we're going to break it up over the next 2 weeks, or next two sessions that I'm with you. And we're going to have a look and see what Paul says to us. And hopefully, as we unpack it, we as individuals in the church, we can learn to pray like an apostle. But I'm going to caveat that. You might learn it, but you need to practice it. There's two different things there. Practicing is a lot harder than knowing. That's something for you to put into practice. So what is prayer? The first logical question, I suppose, what is it? Now, a lot of us would say, actually, if you ask a child, they'll say, oh, it's me talking to God, which is not wrong. It's you coming before God and asking and talking to God in a conversation. Sometimes God might even talk back to you. Sometimes he might not. A little bit more unpacking of it. It is actually coming into the presence of God, talking with God, asking him about God's will for your life. So you align your will with his will. We sometimes forget that God's will needs to play a part in our lives. We need to ask God, what is your will for my life? How do you want me to do this? How do you want me to do that? How do you want me to behave? How do you want me to act? In this, we spoke about discernment earlier. How do you want me to... You can ask God, God, give me discernment in these situations. Discernment is knowing the will of God and discerning it. And this is where prayer begins. When we come before God and we say, Lord, I'm going to come with a shopping list, but forgive me. But actually, I want to come not with just a shopping list. I want to know what you want for me. Too often we come and we just pray and we have a list and we go and we shoot it off and we ramble it off and we go, Lord, I want this, 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 and this, and this. Oh, and can you maybe help that person over there? And you carry on, da, 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 and you go, thank you, amen, and you walk off. Have you actually stopped in your prayer and waited and listened to see if God actually says something? There's a challenge. Are you silent and quiet in the moment of prayer? Or do you just ramble on like the pagans did, reciting verse after verse or the same sentence over and over? So what is prayer? Prayer is aligning our will with God's will and asking Him to show it and reveal it to us, and then having a conversation about it. That's prayer, probably in its broadest sense. And I suppose that brings us to the next logical question. How to pray? How to pray? Verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now you're probably thinking, well, that doesn't teach me how to pray. What is it saying there? Well, let's break it down a little bit. Do you pray with a reason? Pray for a reason. Or do you just come to tick a box? I know lots of people that do that. I've done my quiet time. What did you actually pray for? Did you actually wait on God? Did you listen? Did you just read a verse? Did you pray about the verse? What's your reason for coming to be with God? Paul starts the sentence off saying, for this reason. Now you've got to rewind a little bit. He's praying for the church that has been under attack. It's been infiltrated by false teachers. And this is why he's praying. He's praying that the people would get knowledge, that they would understand what is attacking them. He had a reason when he came to God. For this reason. Like I say, unfortunately, we quite often come just with a shopping list, and it's all about us. And that's our reason. Praying together. If you have a look at that verse, does he say I? What are the pronouns in that verse? Twice he says we. He's referring to Timothy and the other brothers that have come together. They come together corporately, because when you come together as a body of Christ and you lift up your voices in unity, God listens. That's not to say He doesn't listen to you individually, but there is power. Come in. Candle lighting. Oh, you mean like the Catholics do? Yeah, no, we Christians as well, but we don't. But you can come in. Yes. And you're more than welcome.
We'll see you next weekend,
then. Okay, then. Thanks, Sam. I can't say anything more than that. But when you come together, do you pray with one voice? Do you have corporate prayer? I don't know. Maybe that's something I should have asked you, Mike, earlier. Do you come together as a... We meet at our church. We meet once a month at least, if not twice a month, corporately praying for the things. And we have a list of things that we come... And we come with a reason. We pray for the government. We pray for the community. We pray for leadership. We pray for... We have a reason why we are meeting together. And we come together and we lift our voices as one. And we allow God to hear us in unison. Because when we're all aligned, I think there's value in that. Like I said, I don't want to disgruntle or belittle you coming individually either. You need to do both. But you also need to come as a body. Come together. Pray with urgency. Pray with urgency. He says, from the day we heard, they started praying. How many of us, and I'm guilty of this, not pointing fingers, I'm guilty of this. I'll pray for you. And I might actually write it down. And then I get home and do I pray for them? It might take me a week before I get there. And a lot can happen in a week. In fact, a lot can happen in just a couple of hours. But do you pray with urgency? Do you see a prayer request on your chat? I don't know if you've got a chat. We have. But if I now stop and I start praying right then, I don't wait. Because it's urgent. It's a matter that somebody has brought that they need attention, and we have to lift it up to God. So pray with urgency. Pray with some urgency. Pray consistently. Pray consistently. This is the hardest one, I think. And I've spoken to quite a few Christians in my time, and we all struggle with this one. We all aren't praying once, twice, maybe for a week, maybe even a month. But when you have to pray for something year in and year out, you start to form that question, is God ever going to hear me? And eventually you even might stop praying it, and we give up. But Paul says, don't. He says, carry on. Be consistent. Be consistent. He says, haven't stopped praying. He didn't give up. Despite even his circumstances and where he was, he carried on praying. How many of us carry on praying? Are we consistent in our prayer? And yes, might not get an answer straight away. That is unfortunately the sad reality. Might not get the answer we want straight away. In fact, it might even take time. And you might never actually see the answer to that prayer, because it might happen when you've passed. That does not mean that God will not answer that prayer, because the Bible says, and we looked at that in Peter, that God hears the righteous and he answers their prayers. That's the faithful God he is. It's just not our time, it's his time. We need to remember that. So please, can I encourage you to pray with urgency, pray consistently, keep on going, and pray for others. Pray for others. Like I said, quite often we come with a list of, a shopping list of all the stuff I want. Lord, you know, help me do this, help me, give me strength in this, do that. Do you actually come praying for other people? How many of us put ourselves aside, humble ourselves, and actually bring us our requests about other people? It's a tricky one, isn't it? Pray for other people. Paul, he's sitting here in prison. He's not praying for himself. He's not saying, oh, Lord, let my chains be, you know, loosened and let everything go hunky-dory and I can be out of here. He's praying for a church he's never met. That's praying for other people. You might not know the person you pray for, but that doesn't mean you can't pray for them. And also, have you ever looked at the Lord's Prayer? Consider the Lord's Prayer. We've recited it many times in our lives. Some of us might even know it off by heart. But is there, what pronouns are in there? Have you ever looked at it? Are there any me's or I's? No, it's all about God, isn't it? Your will be done. Give us our daily bread when we are tempted. It's pluralistic. There's no I. So pray for others. Think of other people when you're praying. And this is how Paul prays. Like I said, he hadn't met this church. Yeah, he's praying for them. That's a challenge, I think. Just right there, we can probably stop on verse 9, and we probably could have a prayer session right now. And I think, hopefully, it would impact us. Hopefully, if we take it to heart and we start to put it into use. But let's carry on. Let's have a look and see what Paul actually prays for. Because Paul doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just show us how to pray or why he's praying. He actually tells us what he's praying for. And he prays for wisdom, and he prays for spiritual understanding. And he also prays for a worthy walk. So he looks at both the spiritual aspect and he looks at the practical aspect of the church he's praying for, these people he hasn't met. So first off, he starts for the spiritual side, because I think everything works from the spiritual side. Whatever we do after that flows from it. In verse 9, he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. A couple of things there just to note, and this is kind of, we need to take this into mind, is that filled with the knowledge. That is written in, now we might just go, oh, that, what does that mean? But if we actually look at the Greek in it, it actually helps us understand this verse a little bit more. Filled actually is the passive voice. Now, if you don't know what that means that actually something happens. There's a verb, there's an action, but actually you're not doing it. The other person that is acting on you is doing it. You are the recipient of whatever that action is. Does that make sense? So when he says you are being filled, he's not saying you're filling yourself. To draw kind of an analogy, and I thought about this morning, how could I think of a watering can? Because we're all in a host pot band. I think you guys are. Yeah. So how are you watering your garden? A watering can. Now, does the watering can fill itself? No, it doesn't. The watering can gets filled by somebody else, and it gets filled with water. You are the watering can. God is filling you with the knowledge, the water of knowledge. That's probably the easiest way to tell you what a passive voice is. Somebody else does the action, and you're the recipient of that action. And all the way through this verse, he says, you are being filled, you're being filled, you're being filled with the knowledge. So God is filling you with knowledge. You might read, you might understand, but you might not grasp it. And we'll look at that a little bit later. But God is doing the work. The thing we need to do is allow God to fill us. Unfortunately, sometimes we come before God and we have a closed mind. We're resistant to the Holy Spirit filling us. And that's one of his roles. If you read Ephesians, it's actually, he's given, the Spirit enlightens the heart. But if we resist the Spirit, well, he can't enlighten us. He can't fill us. So we need to allow God to work within us. But that means giving control to God. And that's a scary thing. That is a scary thing. And then he prays about knowledge. Knowledge. Now, when we pray, knowledge is probably the last thing we would pray for, isn't it? I mean, okay, I'm going to say when I'm preaching a sermon, I pray for knowledge. Knowledge, Lord, give me knowledge that I can, you know, reveal the word to you guys. But in my normal prayer life, I think knowledge is probably one of the furthest things from my mind. I would probably pray for health. I don't pray for wealth too much, but there are those people that pray for wealth. But I would pray for health. You know, give me health, give somebody else health. Or, you know, it maybe if somebody is going through a struggle and they needed some, I might pray, you know, Lord, please, you know, provide for their needs. I might ask for a blessing. Lord, bless me. May your face shine upon me as I go in today. Or may you shine upon them. So I would pray for those kind of things. Knowledge would be the last thing through my mind. It's the furthest thing. But Paul actually starts here because it's important that we start with knowledge. Because if you think about the church he's writing to, and we have to draw into the kind of the background here a little bit. He's writing to this church that has been infiltrated by false teachers who were claiming that Christ wasn't enough. And this whole letter, remember, is about the supremacy of Christ. And these people have come in, they've said, yeah, Christ is good, but he's not enough. You need this special knowledge. And this is where we get the Gnostics from, Gnosticism. And that's what it means. It actually means knowledge, special knowledge. You need special knowledge in order to be saved or in order for you to, you know, attain a certain enlightenment. Hinduism has a similar philosophy, so does Buddhism. You need to gain certain knowledge in order to advance to the next level and eventually reach nirvana or, you know. And these are the people, this philosophy had come into the church, this Eastern mysticism philosophy. Combine that with the Jewish understanding that you need to do some stuff, you know, so it's laws and knowledge, and you bring it on. And this is who he's praying to. So it's no wonder he starts with knowledge because everything flows from there. We need to know God's will in our lives. And then our walk flows from that. And obviously that then brings us to His will. His will. How many of us struggle with His will? That little sentence there. Yeah, I can see Mike. Let me ask this question. How many of you have had kids? What were the terrible twos like? Terrible. They don't call it terrible twos for nothing, do they? But what are the terrible twos all about? Have you ever broken it down? Sorry? Yeah? 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 But it's also about the clash of wills, isn't it? Think about it. It is about them wanting things their way. And when they can't get it, well, do they throw a tantrum? My oldest son, he took the cake. I mean, he was as stubborn as any. Maybe chip off the old block, I don't know. But don't ask Emma, please. I want none of you talking to Emma about me afterwards. But he was stubborn. He wanted everything his way. I remember one time we went shopping in a shopping mall, kind of South Africa's equivalent to Tesco's. And he stopped in front of this one aisle and he wanted something from there. And we stood for about 10 minutes arguing with him. And he screamed. And eventually Emma and I just walked off. And about 15 minutes, we left and we went off shopping. Emma went off. I stood there looking around the aisle. We pretended we weren't there. But for about 15 minutes, he lay on the ground screaming. And we had all these other parents coming along and going, "Are you all right? Are you all right? Where's your mommy and daddy?" And I was like, that is a demonstration of will. He wanted something his way and he wanted it then. And we weren't giving in, so we had this clash. And that's why I say humans in their very nature, and Mike spoke about it, we are fragile in pottery or clay jars, but we have our own will and we have this war within us. We fight to have our way. Our flesh wars with the flesh or with the spirit. And that's what Paul, that's why he starts here. He says, God's will, not your will. God's will, not your will. Because when we are spiritually dead, we do not understand the things of God. It's just, that's how it works. People that are spiritually dead, that are unsaved, want nothing to do with God's will in their lives. Let's be honest. How many times have you spoken to an unsaved person and they go, "Don't talk to me about that God thing. I don't want to know anything about God. Your God's fake. He's this, he's that." And they come up with all the excuses as to why. But Paul actually writes in Corinthians, he writes this, he says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerning only through the Spirit." It's only when we are spiritually alive can we understand the will of God in our lives. But that doesn't mean we don't struggle with it. We still have that inner man. And even Paul wrote about the old man that wars against and fights to have its own way. And that's why we should pray for God's understanding and God's will in our lives. And that leads into wisdom and understanding. Last time I was here, we looked at the good news. If you remember, if you were here, we spoke about the good news, did we not? But the good news, actually one of the underlying tones is actually understanding God's will for your lives. The gospel has good news. It comes with salvation, but it also comes with the understanding that God wants none of us to perish. So if you want to know God's will, firstly, start reading your Bible. I can't encourage you more. Get into God's word. Because that's how God would speak to you. God speaks to you through his word. And like I said earlier, the Spirit comes along and one of his roles is to enlighten you, to teach you. And he will reveal God's word, God's will in your lives. How's your daily reading going? Don't answer. Like I said, I'm going to ask lots of questions. But how is your daily quiet time going? Are you in God's word? Are you studying it? And then obviously, as you understand more of God's word and you read it, you need to start praying about it. Do you get to the end of your daily reading and do you just end it? Or do you get to the end of your reading and say, "Lord, please tell me what you want out of this"? And that's where you come and you say, "Lord, can we align our wills with one another? Can you teach me what this passage means? reveal what you want me in my life. How do I apply this? I'm sure we've all read passages and actually walked away and go, I don't know how to apply that to my life. But when you've prayed into it, you go, oh yeah, huh, is that how that works? So can I encourage you, get into God's word and then pray about it. Pray about it. I've taken to praying through the Psalms. Every morning I'll read a psalm, except when you get to Psalm 119, that's really long, but then you got to break it up. But normally the Psalms are quite nice sized. Have you ever gone verse by verse and actually prayed for it? Because each verse or each little stanza actually has a theme to it. And you can actually pray and you say, Lord, pray for the government, pray for leaders, pray for this, pray for, you know. It's a beautiful way to start your morning. That's just how I do it. Obviously, find what works for you guys. That's just, but don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Because that all feeds into walking worthy of the Lord. Verse 10, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. There again, knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. Remember who he's writing to? The word worthy. You ever thought about the word worthy? It actually, in the Greek, or it actually means to give weight to something. That's one version of it, to give weight to something. Or to put the effort in. It gets used in the Greek in both ways, in both contexts. To put weight behind something, so you could think that a candidate is worthy, you'd therefore put your weight behind them. You'd vote for that candidate, would you not? You wouldn't vote for somebody that you thought wasn't worthy. That's the one interpretation. The other one is actually to put the effort in. And there you could think of a car. Think about your car. If you're driving along, you ever been stuck or broken down or something like that? I used to have a car that used to break down quite a lot. And you would have to get out and push the car. Now, you don't get out and go like, move car. No, you get behind the car and you put your effort behind the car and you push with all your might. That's what this word could also mean. So when it says worthy, it either means to put your weight behind it or to put the effort in. How is your walk going? Because your walk is your daily conduct, how you live your life. That's what Paul uses this word for. Your daily conduct, your daily living, the life that you live. Is it conforming to God's will? Is it pleasing to God's will? And are you putting your effort behind it? We always work with the fact that we think that God doesn't see some things. God won't see. God sees all. In Hebrews it says everything will be revealed eventually. He shines his light on everything. Whatever you do, whatever action you take, God will see it. So stop fooling yourself and start walking a life that brings God honor and glory and pleases him. Pleases him. Because when we get into this life of pleasing him, then come the good works. And the good works bear fruit. Now that's not to say that you are saved through your good works. Let's just get that straight, okay? Good works, when we talk about good works, we could think of serving. Serving. How many people serve? Do you help your neighbor next door? Do you help somebody across the road? We laugh about those kinds of, but those are good works. Do you go out of your way to help somebody? Do you spend time with somebody that's sick? Those are all good works. They all bear fruit. All bear fruit. All bear fruit. And as we do this, we grow. We all grow like the trees that we are. And when you get a fruit tree, at first it's quite small, isn't it? Does it bear fruit straight away? So when it gets a certain size, it starts to bear. And Christ, he uses the analogy, or he talks to the crowds and he says, think of a mustard seed. A mustard seed, as small as it is. And eventually it grows and becomes to the point where actually the birds can rest in it. Do you know how big a mustard tree gets? You ever thought about that? There are some hybrids now, but I'm going to talk about, in Jesus' day, the mustard seed. How big a mustard tree would be. Do you know? Have you ever thought about it? You ever looked it up? It grows up to 6 meters tall. That is a massive tree if you think about it. That's not some small little thing. But year on year, it bears mustard seeds. It gives fruit. And it keeps on growing. Keeps on growing. And if you had to think of yourself that every year that you grow, as you are planted by the streams of living water, Psalms 1 talks about, you grow. And as you draw and your roots go deep and you draw upon the streams of living water, you should be flourishing. You should be bearing fruit. Good works that are pleasing to God, not to yourself. Again, it's not about us. It's about God and God's will in your life. Does your life please God? How's your life going? Are you okay on a Sunday? Mediocre during a week? Don't know. Are you bearing fruit? How's that going? Maybe you need a little bit of fertilizer. Can I encourage you today to, if you need a little bit of little care from the master gardener, pray. Call upon the Lord. He's more than willing to come along. Sometimes he has to prune you. Sometimes he has to water you. Sometimes he has to fertilize you. But it all starts with you asking. You have to come before God and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm not where I should be. I'm not quite. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord? Because we all need a little bit of strength. We all need some strength. Being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully. Strengthened there, again, is that passive voice. Remember when we were saying filled? This is the same. God is the one that strengthens you. You do nothing. It's God that does it for you. And he strengthens you with his power. Mike read that this morning. Beautiful how Mike... We didn't know that. We could have almost have said we coordinated that, but we'd be lying. But Mike came up with a passage that has hit 2 points I picked up this morning. That we war, that we have our own will, but it's also God's power. It's God's power, God's strength. The word here that is used is dynamos. What does that sound like? Dynamite. That's the exact word. Dynamite actually is taken from this word dynamos. It is with power, with explosion, that God fills your life. God gives you the strength that you need in the times that you are struggling. And he lists three things here. He says that you would endure. Think of that as your circumstances. In the rough times that you're going through, whatever's happening in your life around it, things might not have gone well. Maybe your car's broken. Maybe your house has been broken into. We've got people now that where the houses are being burnt down because it's being said. You need God's power. He's dynamite in those situations to endure, to get through it. Because it's only through his power that you can make it. And then he prays that God would give you the power, the dynamite in your patience, dealing with those people that really you struggle with. Have you ever met somebody that just really winds you up? You just meet them, they know which buttons to push, and you're like, oh, I need patience, Lord. It might be a family member, might be a work colleague. Mike's smiling. I didn't say anything. It's not you, Daphne. I know it's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get involved in this one. It might be a counseling session afterwards. But you need dynamite. You need dynamite in your patience. My son yesterday was painting his car. Well, Friday he actually started his boot of his car, my youngest, and he kept on spraying on the lacquer, and then he goes out and he's touching it every 5, and I'm like, just let it dry. He's like, oh, it's feeling soft. I'm like, you've just put a whole lot of nail prints in it now, and it's not drying because you've got to give it time. Be patient. And he got quite upset with me because, but we need something, we need patience. Because the last thing we need is time. Humans are impatient by nature. We want everything now, and we don't want to wait for it. 24/7. That's why Amazon makes so much money, because none of us want to wait. We all got, you know, if you've got Prime, you want it yesterday. And when you got it, when they like send you that note, it's always going to be delayed. You're like, I pay for Prime. I expect it to be now. That's human nature. But we need God's patience, a power in that patience. And then power in joyfulness. To be joyful, especially when you're going through a tough time. When you have to put patience and endurance into the mix, you're thinking the last thing I want is joy. The last thing I want to be is joyful about this. But you know what? We have to be joyful. Because that pleases God. And there's nothing worse, or I won't say there's nothing better than a joyful Christian, especially when they're experiencing hardship. Because that's a testimony to the people that are witness, that you're witnessing to. The moment you lose your rag, or you complain, or you aren't happy with, like, oh, you say you're a Christian. I've had those comments. I got a son that does that to me all the time. My youngest is terrible. But he's watching with eagle hawk eyes. And the moment we slip up, he's there. But he's not the only one. I say you have friends, you have neighbor, you have family members that all are watching. And that goes back to Peter, what Peter said, that they are watching you. They're watching you because they want to see how you work. But when you have the power of God in you and the patience and the joyfulness, you can be a victor. You can be a victor, not a victim. So can I, as we go into closing now, can I encourage you to pray like an apostle? Pray that you align your will with God's will, His will, not your will. Pray with some urgency. Pray with a reason. Come together as corporates, but pray individually as well. Pray consistently. Don't give up. Keep on plugging at it. God is here. God will hear you. He is hearing you. But then when you come, also pray for spiritual matters. Pray for that God would spiritually enlighten you and the knowledge that He gives you about His will and about His wisdom that would lead to the power and the strengthening in your life. And your walk, may it be worthy and blessing and honoring, bearing fruit, so that those that see you will be astounded and taken back by the work He's doing in your lives. Can we go into just a little bit of prayer, and then I'll hand back to Mike. Lord, as we bring this little passage just to a close, pray that You've spoken to us, that you have spoken to each one of us in our own unique ways, because each one of us is individual, Lord, and each one of us will draw something slightly different. Each one of us will have our own struggles, our own battles. But the miracle is that You know that, Lord. Because You are an awesome God. You understand each one of us individually. You understand us, and You have that relationship with us. And that You deal with us on a one-to-one basis. So I pray, Lord, that as we go from here, that we would go seeking to enrich our prayer lives with You. That we would come before You with You on our minds and not ourselves. May our prayer be that it's less of us and more of You. And may Your Holy Spirit be able to work within us. May Your Holy Spirit be able to reveal to us. May Your Holy Spirit be able to teach us and sanctify us as we go through our daily walk, so that we can be a testament to those that we encounter. And we know, Lord, that we are in strange times. We've heard it this morning. But what is not strange is You. You are consistent. You are the same as You were yesterday, that You are today, and that You will be forever. So may we draw our strength knowing that You never change, that You will never leave us, and that You will always go with us into the battle. So I pray, Lord, for Your guidance, for Your Holy Spirit, Your protection, and Your move. I pray and ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.